Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are ready to get into the last section of 1 Timothy chapter 5. God has brought us safely through another week and deposited us at the beginning of a new one. Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Monday, May 24. Many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts help us to maintain this program on this station. On the broadcast Friday, I said I was going to get into the last section of 1 Timothy chapter 5, which deals with considerations relating to pastors, to elders. And I started down that road, and then I got sidetracked going back to some things in the first section that has to do with guidelines for church benevolence, and picked up a few items that I had not fully covered in that section. So now, having got that completely behind us, let's return to this last section, verses 17 through 25, which deals with elders. We have financial care of elders in verses 17 and 18. Complaints against an elder in verses 19 and 20, ordination of elders, verse 22, the physical welfare of elders, verse 23, and the evaluation of elders in verses 24 and 25. So many important items that have to do with healthy local churches and healthy church officers, and particularly the health of elders who are given a primary leadership role in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first item has to do with financial care of elders. We read in verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages.'" Now, we started on the broadcast Friday pointing out that that word honor in verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor," refers to financial support. Honorarium, the same honor applied to the widows in verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows, and then about 13 verses of instructions of how to care for the widows financially, who to care for, who not to care for, and obviously honor here means financial support. The word itself is broader than that, but in this context it means financial support, and it often means that in the New Testament. It obviously means that in 1 Timothy 5 when applied to widows. It obviously means that in 1 Timothy 5:17 when applied to elders. And if there were any doubt, and there shouldn't be because of the context in verse 3, but if there were any doubt, verse 18 makes it clear that that's what is being talked about, because it goes on to say, "For the scripture says," elaborating on this concept of "let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says," and there are actually two quotations here, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, and the Old Testament quotation is, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." And that was picked up by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians and used to support his teaching about the financial support of elders. He said, that's what this text is really talking about. Do you think God had primarily oxen in mind when he had that verse written in the Old Testament? Now, if all we had was the Old Testament, we might have thought that was what God had primarily in mind. But Paul says, no. That's really only a secondary application. But the primary application has to do with supporting gospel workers, supporting ministers. That's what the text is really talking about. Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 9? I'm going to find it here. It's in verse 9. Let's see. He talks about finances. I'll have to really pick it up here. He says in verse 4, "Do we have no right to eat and drink?" Talking about himself and the missionary team that traveled with him. Do we have no right to eat and drink? And of course, if they didn't eat and drink, they'd die. So he's not talking about actually eating and drinking, but you have to fill in what he's talking about. Don't we have a right to eat and drink at the expense of the church? The obvious answer is yes. Now, verse 5, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" And the answer is yes. Not only do the church have a responsibility to care for pastors and for apostles and other leaders in the church when they traveled and when they came to visit your church, you have a responsibility to take care of them, to feed them, to house them, and not only them, but also their wife. If their wife comes along, you've got a responsibility to take care of her too. And that's what he says here. Don't we have a right to take along a believing wife, again, at the expense of the church, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Paul didn't take along a wife, but he had a right to. Paul didn't expect the churches to support his wife along with himself, but he had a right to. Verse 6, "Is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working?" Now again, we know Paul did work many times, laboring with his hands, making tents. But that was only when church support was not sufficient. Rather than go home, he'd make tents to stay on the field. Rather than quit preaching the gospel in corners of the world that needed it, he would go to work in order to stay there and continue to preach the gospel at a reduced schedule, because now he had to give many hours a week to supporting himself. That wasn't the ideal. That wasn't the way things ought to be if everything was running right, but that's the way it was sometimes. But when he wasn't working at making tents, was just simply working at preaching the gospel, the question is, was he sponging off the church? Paul says, no, I had a right to do that. Is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? The other apostles do. You seem to recognize that with the others. Why do you question it for me? You seem to recognize it in case of your pastors. Why do you question it in the case of me? And then he gives a couple of illustrations here. He says, whoever goes to war at his own expense. Think about that. If somebody enlists in the army, or is even drafted into an army, as often happens, do they go at their own expense? No. The country, the king, whoever, who is putting this army on the battlefield, pays the expenses. They house the soldiers. They feed the soldiers. They clothe the soldiers. They take care of the soldiers. That's understood. Nobody goes to battle at his own expense. He goes to battle at the expense of the one that he represents. So whoever goes to war at his own expense, nobody. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Now, a different illustration, but a farmer. The farmer plants the vineyard. He plants it on his land. He plants his seeds. He tends it. He takes care of it. He prunes it. And the grapes come on it. Doesn't he have a right to eat the grapes? Of course he does. Of course he does. It's the produce of his labor. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit? And then another illustration, verse 7, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Goats, I presume, would be in view here, because goats produce milk, a flock of goats. But a farmer has a flock of goats. He cares for them. He feeds them. He takes care of them. Does he have a right to the milk? Of course he does. Cows? He takes care of the cows. Does he have a right to the milk? Of course he does. Does he have a right to drink it? Of course he does. Does he have a right to sell the surplus? Of course he does. Everybody understands that. Verse 8, do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same thing? Am I just offering this as my observation and opinion, or is this actually what the law, that is the Bible? The Old Testament scripture says, 4 verse 9, it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And there's that quotation. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And if you go back to the book of, let's see, where is that? That's in Deuteronomy 25:4. If you go back there and read that, you think that that God is primarily concerned about oxen. It's not right to make an ox work to thresh your grain and muzzle it so it can't eat of the very grain that its work is producing. God said you can't do that. That's wrong. That's a violation of ethics. You don't do that. If the ox is producing the work that is threshing your grain, then if he wants to stop and eat a mouthful of grain now and then, let him. It's wrong to keep him from it. It's his labor that's producing the grain, not somebody else's. So, it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. But then he says this interesting phrase in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 9. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Is that really what God primarily had in mind? As I say, we'd read that and we'd say, that's exactly what it is. This is stipulations for how to care for animals. It's cruelty to animals to muzzle the ox when it treads out the corn. God is primarily interested in animals. Save the whales and all of that. No. Is God concerned about oxen, verse 10, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written that he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we, Paul and his missionary companions, have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? See what he's talking about? The ones who labor in the gospel, who labor in the church, who labor in the kingdom of God, they should partake of material things of the people who are benefiting from their labors. That's what he's talking about. Verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? And then he goes on to say, I didn't always use this right. In fact, in the case of the Corinthians, he didn't use it at all. And later in 2 Corinthians, he intimates that maybe that was a mistake, that in not taking financial support from them, he allowed them to get bad ideas, bad attitudes about their responsibility to care for people. And it allowed them to hold him in lower honor, lower esteem than they should have, because what he gave to them was freely given, and they didn't have to pay for it, and they didn't value it like they should. So that's what often happens. Now, with all of that in the background, back to 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, quotation number one from Deuteronomy, and the laborer is worthy of his wages, quotation number two, and that one comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 7. It's the words of Christ. The laborer is worthy of his wages. When he sent out his disciples, that's what he said. You go back and read the whole section, but he basically told them to be taken care of by the people that they minister to, and the reason for that is that the laborer is worthy of his wages. You don't go at your own expense. Christ taught exactly the same thing. You know that passage, if I had more time, I'd go into it now. Maybe I will tomorrow. That passage says, don't take two cloaks, and don't take this, and don't take that. Why? Some people have said, well, because you should live real plainly. No, that's not the reason why. The reason why is because the people you're ministering to should supply these things for you. That's really what it teaches. You don't go at your own expense. You go at the expense of the people you minister to. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. That's what he applies to elders in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll come back to it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.